Well, up north here, getting the most out of this life that we have. Lots of us like to spend time outdoors in the woods, in the fields, and such like that. But along with those pastimes can come some dangers that we need to be aware of. We don't need to be afraid of anything out there, but we need to be aware of some things. With that in mind, Dr. James Thatcher is with us here this morning. He's from the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center, and they're having an open house. We're going to talk about that. And ticks, Dr. Thatcher, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, and can't wait to get outside and play. But as I was saying in the intro, we got to be careful when we go outside any time of the summertime, the fall, the spring. Once the ticks come out right after the snow melts, got to be aware of that stuff. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But first, Dr. Thatcher, tell us a little bit about your background and why you joined the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
Sure. So I'm originally from New York, northeast area of the country, and we have a lot of tick problems up there, and very similar distribution of illness here. But so growing up in New York, I'm from Long Island. It's home of the Montauk knee, which is a Lyme arthritis of the knee. So just across the pond there from Lyme, Connecticut, where all the all the interest in tick-borne disease kind of started. And so you knew someone growing up that had Lyme disease. You knew about there was a rash associated with that. You didn't really know a lot more than that. Testing was always poor. And then in my training, I trained in family medicine, and I wound up in New Jersey. And actually, the number one tick-borne illness in New Jersey is not Lyme disease. It's Bartonellosis. Bartonella is a very tricky infection. It can come from more than a tick. It can come from spiders, from cattle, from coyotes. So it's a zoonotic infection, and it's not even on the tick maps in Wisconsin. So that in most places, because the testing is even poorer than Lyme disease for that. So that piqued my interest, and then seeing very young patients, a 6-year-old with ADD due to a Bartonella infection, or a 21-year-old on the ventilator with Guillain-Barré due to a Lyme disease infection of the brain. Seeing some of these, how this can impact young and old patients, piqued my interest to kind of pursue additional education on this. And, my wife and I, we headed south out of my residency training initially, as I was a family medicine hospitalist, but became a member of the ILADS, which is the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, and trained with some of the best out there, some of the, we say, like the godfathers or the grandfathers of Lyme disease treatment, and learning about it. And this this tick center that we have here in Woodruff, the Aspyrus Tick-Borne Illness Center, which really wouldn't be possible without the vision of Howard Young, the Howard Young Foundation, and the good people of the Northwoods asking for it. We're in one of the largest forest systems in the country, and we're number 4, so we're in the top 5 of tick-borne illness per state in the country. So the big problem up here, and this is kind of a dream come true, to come to basically a turnkey practice where we see acute and chronic tick-borne disease. So I met the Aspyrus people at the ILADS annual conference last in Boston last November. Brought my family up here over Christmas and to explore the Northwoods, and we're really thrilled to be here.
Boy, it's outstanding. It's a great place to live, that's for sure. So welcome to the Northwoods, Dr. Thatcher. If Aspyrus thinks it's a big enough deal to have a specific tick-borne illness center, it must be a pretty big deal in this area for a hospital to separate a whole wing for that.
I'll tell you, I've been treating tick-borne disease on the side for the last 9 years as a hospitalist, but I've never, and we say that 20% of Lyme disease patients get the bullseye rash. The bullseye rash tells me two things. It tells me that your immune system's responding to the infection. It proves you have Lyme disease, or as we say, Lyme borreliosis, because there are 37 types of Borrelia, and there's only one test for Lyme disease. So we miss a lot of alternate Borrelia infections. But I've never seen as many bullseyes in my career as I've seen this summer.
Wow. So it's really out there. Got to be careful. Tell us about the team that works with you, Doc.
Yeah, so Ashley Johnson is a nurse practitioner. She's from Wisconsin. She's been here for over 3 years. She's done an excellent job of working in this clinic. Dr. Shore was the medical director before me. He's one of the past presidents of ILADS. He's based out of Virginia. He'll be speaking remotely at our celebration next week on Wednesday at 5:00. So I went and actually worked with Dr. Shore before I came up here with with my family. And so there's just the two of us here. We have an excellent front desk staff as well. We have, you know, support from the Aspires team. Hopefully we'll garner more interest and support within our own building over time. So it's really just the two providers here. And we get probably about half the patients. I've been tracking my first 150 or so patients. About half the patients I see are acute. To have a place where someone can go for complications from a tick bite or even to remove the tick itself is pretty amazing. And we've certainly been quite busy. Now we're hoping pretty soon to be graduating a lot of those acute illness patients, you know, so they can move on with their lives and get back out there on the trails. And we're worried that, from what I've been told by the community, patients in the room, and that there's a pun intended going to be a little uptick in cases coming up because the deer are going to migrate, they're going to drop their ticks. So it's really important to have a prevention or a prophylaxis in mind, so we don't have to be afraid to be out there, getting our exercise and enjoying the Northwoods.
We're going to get to some specifics on how we can protect ourselves and such, but I want to bring attention to the 5-year anniversary that the Tick-Borne Illness Center is celebrating coming up here, next week already. So 5-year anniversary, and a lot of us probably haven't known. I've known about this now for a couple of years. I remember we had a conversation about this a couple of years back, but now 5 years in, there's going to be an open house. So what can attendees expect at that open house? Give us some specifics there, please.
Yeah, it's the open house. We're gonna. It's a beautiful clinic, first of all. There's been some there's been some recent upgrades as well, and we're gonna speak about how far the Tick Center has come, the patients that we've reached, and helped to cure or improve their chronic illness, if that was the case. And then Ashley and I are both gonna speak, and we'll also talk about the vision for the clinic moving forward. We do it because of the support from the Howard Young Foundation. There's certainly areas that we can upgrade with respect to ancillary treatments for mainly for more chronic tick-borne illness, and there'll be some refreshments as well. So I expect it to be hopefully will be an excellent turnout for people to come and learn more about the clinic itself, how if you're afflicted with this disease, how we might be able to help you. I will make sure there's a room for questions as well. We'll take questions on the open mic. And also, if people want to contribute, to the Tick Center, if they know someone that we've reached and been able to improve, that would be another thing that could be considered. But really, we want to make sure that the patients, that people are, in general, are aware of the clinic's presence, because invariably, patients will call with an illness. They're going to call their primary care or go to urgent care or the ER. But we are also another avenue for acute as well as chronic disease, and we want patients to be aware of what to look out for with respect to tick-borne illness, acute or chronic, and that there's someone here that's willing to help them.
So I've got some all kinds of questions here going through my mind at the same time. So I know two people that have had Lyme disease, and it seems like they've had it for years and years. So just exactly how prevalent is this among folks here in the Northwoods? Because a lot of people may have it, and they may not share that information with other people. But just how prevalent is it?
Well, let me give you my quick crash course, Jeff, if you will, for you and your listeners. So, first of all, You, if a tick bites you, you hope it has nothing in it, right? That's what we hope for. But we say ticks are sewers. They typically have more than one disease in the tick. And one of the first things I did when I came to the Northwoods was review about 100 tick analyses to see what's bugging the ticks up here, to get an idea of what disease is. And Lyme disease, which is Borrelia burgdorferi, remains number one in the Northwoods. Tick-borne relapsing fever, which are four or five other types of Borrelia, is number two. Anaplasmosis, which can affect, which all people will tell me, oh, my dog had that, is another prevalent tick-borne disease that's easily treatable with 3 weeks of antibiotics. Babesiosis, which is a parasitic infection, quite debilitating, is number four in the Northwoods. So when a tick bites you, it's a spirochete that swims around the bloodstream, and antibiotics are the mainstay of early treatment and remain so. It's when the treatment is incomplete or when there's a gap in care is where the Borrelia has multiple forms. And this is the part they don't really teach in medical school, so we have to forgive our primary care colleagues out there because they weren't taught this stuff. And I recently spoke to residents at a retreat, and they're still not being taught these things in medical school. So we need to bridge the gap education-wise with the providers, and we're going to attempt to do that in time. But the Borrelia, it has alternate forms. So when you start antibiotics, if you're lucky enough to get a bullseye, it's a good sign that your immune system is identifying the problem. It's giving you a target. And early antibiotics are the mainstay. But the Borrelia has ways to escape the immune system. When you start antibiotics, it rolls into the cyst form or the round body form, where it kind of hibernates like a bear and waits out your antibiotics. And the other thing is the Borrelia has a protein coat. It's called the opsonin protein, but it changes its protein coat every 4 weeks. This is the main, so this mechanism is one of the main ways that it escapes the immune system if we kind of treat for not too long. Like I tell my patients, it's like if halfway through this visit I come back and I take off my white coat, come back in a green coat, you'd wonder who I was for a minute. Well, that's what happens to the immune system. And whether it's, and there's certain infections that can cause autoimmune dysfunction. Lyme disease is one of them. Strep's another. COVID is becoming known as another one. So it's that when it evades the immune system for too long is when antibiotics tend to not help. And we say that Lyme disease eats your cartilage and it peels the lining off your nerves, which doesn't sound too appetizing.
No.
But it's that Lyme arthritis and the neuropathy from Lyme disease or when it gets into the brain stem, the meningitis that it can cause, the brain inflammation that it can cause. Those are the debilitating things. And again, with early treatment, we have about an 80-90% cure rate. We're adding a little something special in our acute patients to cover the multiple forms of Borrelia off the bat to hopefully make that number even higher. But the chronic patients are the challenge because whether it's incomplete treatment or whether there's already damage there that needs to be fixed, a lot of the techniques that we use to repair that are sort of outside allopathic medicine or mainstream medicine, if you will. And because we see reactivated viral infections and metal and mold and fungal infections, there's a model that we use. It's an inflammatory, multi-system inflammatory disease model to sort of identify that in your body to figure out how we're best going to get you better. And it takes time, which is why we spend as long as it takes with our patients on the initial visits. You know, to get through that history and physical, which is so important, you know, to the treatment course.
I wonder how many of your patients that you're treating now, how many people that you see at the Tick-Borne Illness Center were misdiagnosed before they got to you, and they're kind of coming to you as a final way to say, you know what, nobody seems to know what's wrong with me. Please help me. How many folks like that do you see?
Well, too many, Jeff. So, one of the other tricks of Lyme disease is that the Borrelia, I always give this strep example. If I'm bit by a spider tonight and it has strep in it, strep multiplies very quickly. And in a couple of days, if I have a cellulitis and infection, I'm going to be having trouble. I'm going to be in the ER getting treatment, and I'm similarly going to get better very quickly. But Lyme disease, the Borrelia spirochete, it grows very, very slowly. And by the time it kind of reaches a critical mass in the body and it ticks off a lot of inflammation, you get those summer flu symptoms, the achiness, the sweats, the chills, the fever. By the time that starts to kick in, about 5 to 14 days in from a tick bite, the Borrelia leaves the bloodstream. It doesn't like your bloodstream. It likes the tissues. It likes the muscle fibers, especially the tendons. It likes the heart. And it likes your brain. So when it leaves the bloodstream, a lot of those fever-type symptoms go away, but the aches remain because the protein sequence in the Borrelia looks a lot like our muscle. So your body starts to fire some friendly fire around, and your fever goes away, but you're still achy. And maybe you think, oh, maybe I'm just getting a little bit old now. I'm kind of achy, but you're only 40 or you're 35. So that's not it. And that may make you less likely to seek treatment. And then the other thing is a lot of the screening tests that they do, again, for Borrelia, only focuses on the Borrelia burgdorferi, right? Because we do not have good testing on the other Borrelia. And it will take typically a minimum of 4 weeks to build up antibodies to be positive in a test. So that's why Lyme disease remains a clinical diagnosis. And we're, certainly we are more bullish on with a tick bite, with treatment, because we don't want you to wind up that past 3 months of symptoms, you're on the more of the chronic stages of things in the body. We don't want you to line up in the chronic part of this. We want to eliminate it early. So early intervention is key.
And a little common sense goes a long way. If we're going to be playing outside, we need to get the stuff that we either spray on or rub on our skin to protect that. We shouldn't have our ankles openly exposed. Pull some long socks up under some long pants, and all these things can help you avoid the bugs and then getting the diseases that come with. Boy, I just thought Lyme disease was like one thing. This just seems like an umbrella term for a lot of nasty stuff these ticks bring. So we need to protect ourselves ahead of time.
That's right. So, one of the questions I asked frequently when I came up here is about prophylaxis, or for some people, the better word is prevention. So what do you use for prevention? So most people know about Off, which has some DEET, but I have small children, and I'm kind of hesitant to spray DEET all over them.
Yeah, right.
Some people know about permethrin. So permethrin is a chemical, but you can get permethrin impregnated leg warmers or extra socks to go over your regular socks. Farmers will wear their permethrin-impregnated pants in to see me. But also I like natural things, for my children. So I go around to the flea markets or the bazaars, and I ask people, well, you have a tincture for ticks? And most of them do. It's pretty neat. And a lot of them contain lavender. I have a child that can't do lavender. But a lot of the other chemicals or the natural things are the same. So it's cedarwood oil, lemongrass oil, thyme, rosemary, clove, spearmint. So these are all natural things that don't just help to ward off the ticks, but they also ward off those pesky mosquitoes, the ones you can hear coming or feel coming, because the tick has an anesthetic in its bite, meaning it numbs the skin. So most people only get like a little itch, and then sometimes they itch and they get more than they bargained for. But those biting flies too carry other diseases that we see in the ticks as well. So having something with those similar ingredients that I mentioned is key. Certainly in Walmart or in any of your pharmacies, we should have natural things over the counter you can use that you can actually put on the skin. So I would say, like you said, the ankles, maybe the wrists, maybe the waist a little bit. For me, top of the head, back of the neck. So I got a little less hair than most people.
Yeah.
So that's important. But having a prophylaxis, so we make sure that we put that on the kids before we hit the trails on the weekends. So that is really important. Prevention is the key. So until we can better figure out how to address the ticks themselves, and a lot of the things that we do for the ticks themselves might cover for one bacteria and not some of the other ones. So the key is protecting yourself off the bat is the best thing we have right now until technology and treatments continue to improve.
Well, we need to take it seriously, that is for sure. And with that in mind, people might want to come over to the open house. It's on Wednesday. It's from 5 until 6:30. There will be some light refreshments and appetizers served. And you get a chance to hear Dr. James Thatcher and Ashley Johnson talk about these tick-borne illnesses at the Tick-Borne Illness Center open house on Wednesday. It's located at 240 Maple Street in Woodruff. That's at the Howard Young Medical Center complex there in Woodruff. Dr. Thatcher, thank you so much for being with us here this morning. This is a very important topic, and I hope there's a lot of people at the open house next week.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff, and we hope to see everybody out there. Come by and say hello. And I hope not to see you at the tick clinic.
Exactly. Better go for the open house than as a patient. Well, Doc, thanks for your time here this morning. Thank you for doing what you're doing for us up here in the Northwoods, and I hope it's a big open house success.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful rest of your day and weekend, sir.
And you do the same. Dr. James Thatcher from the Tick-Borne Illness Center at the Howard Young Medical Center in Woodruff. Don't miss that open house if you're interested. If you or someone you love has ever dealt with this, for sure, get there on Wednesday. We'll remind you about it before then, too. And got to shut down the Sunrise Show right after this break.